When Moses asked the majority of the 10 spies, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult do you think it would be to take the land? Like a 12? And then Moses would turn to Caleb and Joshua. Well, what is it to you on a scale of 1 to 10? How difficult is it? Scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 2. Then it's almost as if the Lord said, because you, 10, say it's a 12, then to you, it'll be a 12. But to Caleb and Joshua, who said it was a 2, then to them, it'll be a 2.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. There are times in our Christian walk where God will ask us to do something entirely out of our comfort zone, and it can seem like a risk. But with great risk comes great reward, and it also produces great faith, perhaps more than you have ever experienced. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Risk and Faith.
Welcome. I want to talk to us about taking risks for the kingdom of God. But first, a funny story. There's a Japanese guy that came from Japan and didn't know any English, and he said in his Japanese language to the translator, he said, how do I order food? I gotta eat. So he said, just remember three words: hamburger, French fries, Coke. That's all you need to know. Hamburger, and he practiced hamburger, French fry, Coke. That's it. So he thought he'd try it out. He went to the restaurant. What would you like? He said, hamburger, French fry, Coke. And the guy gives him hamburger, French fries, and Coke. And he thought, this is like a miracle. So the next day, he went back to that same restaurant. What would you like? Hamburger, French fry, Coke. Good. Dinner, hamburger, French fry, Coke. And breakfast, hamburger, French fry, Coke. But it worked every time. But finally, he gets tired of this monotony, and he goes back to the translator, and he says, I need to have something different than hamburger, French fries, and Cokes. So he said, okay, try this. Try eggs, toast, juice for breakfast. Toast, juice. That's it. So he went to the restaurant, and this is his first time, right? And he's a little nervous. So the lady says, what would you like? He says, eggs, toast, juice. And she said, great. She said, would you like your eggs over easy, over medium, boiled, or poached? Your toast, rye, wheat, or sourdough? Juice, would you like orange, cranberry, or apple? And he thought for a bit, and he said, hamburger, French fry, Coke. Sometimes we don't want to venture too far out of our comfort zones. But today, I want to encourage you to do that when it comes to faith. Let me ask you a question. What would you think if you saw a sign over a door that just said, enter at your own risk? Well, most of us wouldn't enter at all, would we? It suggests that if you do, there's going to be consequences. However, what if the sign really meant that said, enter at your own risk? It really meant this. In order to enter, you must be willing to take risks. But when you do, you'll be greatly rewarded. That'd make all the difference in the world, wouldn't it? It's just a different perspective of that sign. And you know, that's the very sign that's over the door to growth and faith in the kingdom of God. To grow out of where you are, to stretch beyond hamburger, French fries, and Cokes, and to become the person that God wants you to be, it's going to require us to take some risks. Our faith will only grow and develop outside of our ability. It'll be formulated, developed on the other side of our comfort zones. Now, I have to admit that some risks will be bigger than others, and some would be foolish for us to take. But some will be necessary. And we've got to recognize the differences. You know, when God looks at the risks we take for God, He doesn't define it as risk. No. When you do that for God, heaven defines it as great faith. And heaven is able to convert risk to faith. Hebrews 11:6 says it well. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For those who come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. You see, when we take risks in the name of God, heaven converts it from risk to faith, and God rewards that. But it starts with risk sometime. Every single one of us can be men and women of great faith, but often it starts with a willingness to take a risk. We risk getting it wrong. We risk people not agreeing with us. We risk the pushback. But because we heard God, we move forward. And then it becomes faith. You know, some years ago, I was 11 years in Hilo, and the church had grown. We had built a beautiful building. And for some reason, there was a stirring in my heart. I wrestled with it for over a year. It was like the Lord was saying, I want you to pioneer, start all over again. And I thought, start all over again? I don't think so. And I wrestled with it, and I tried to ignore it, get rid of it, but it stuck with me. So finally, I went to one of our elders, and I asked permission to just pursue to see if this was God or not. And this person looked at me and said, no, you're not supposed to leave. Nope, it's not God. And I said, gosh, I know it's hard, but I think I'm supposed to go. And the elder just said, no, you're not done here. No, you cannot go. And then all of a sudden, big tears welled up in his eyes. And he said, wait a minute. God just spoke to my heart. I said, what is it? And he said this. He said, Wayne, for you, it's a big risk. But right now, heaven is seeing it as big faith. And whenever you launch with great faith, something great is about to happen. You're supposed to go. And he began weeping. I began weeping. Sure, it's a risk. But you see, when you're risking because you're trying to stay in step with God, heaven converts risk to great faith. And great faith is what God rewards. And I look back now after 28 years that I was in Oahu, 120,000 people received Christ, 22 churches on that island birth, 36 in the islands, 152 around the world. I think, you know, God rewards that. But it started with a risk. I take a look at the book of Acts. And the success of the book of Acts is actually found in one verse, Acts 15:26. And I quote, it says, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There it is. But the courage that it takes for this doesn't come naturally. No, it's a choice we have to make. And to ensure that it is a God-honoring risk, the Holy Spirit will help us. And by the way, he'll even prepare you by first building capacity to take the risk. Well, what is that motivation? Here it is. It's a compassion for the things of God. You start to receive not just a passion, but a compassion. We do what God asks us to do, not out of dare, not out of duty, because that stuff doesn't convert well at all. But if it's done out of compassion for God and for others, because we love God and we love people, God can convert it from risk to faith. There was a time a guy came to me when we were in Honolulu, and he said, my denomination is going to pay us a lot of money, and they're investing $1 million to pioneer a church in Hawaii. I said, where are you from? He said, Missouri. I said, wow, that's a long ways away and a culture very different. And he said, yeah, I know. I said, so you're going to come here and pioneer a church? He said, oh, yes, my denomination wants their name in Hawaii. I said, okay, I guess that's okay. And I said, do you know anything about the people of Hawaii? He said, oh, I love the weather there. The weather, beautiful weather. I said, okay, do you love the people, you know? He said, oh, man, the food in Hawaii is so good. I love Asian food. I said, do you love Hawaii people? He said, you know, the beaches are just absolutely beautiful. And every time I asked him about, do you love the people, regardless of what they eat or where they go to swim, it was always about the culture, the aloha, the flowers, the fragrance, the sunshine. And I stopped him and I said, I would suggest you not come. And he said, what? I said, wait, until you have a deep compassion for the people. Until you love the Japanese, the Chinese, the Hawaiian, the Polynesians, all of the people here. And once God gives you that great compassion, that compassion will be followed by miracles. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 20. It says this, Jesus, having been moved with compassion, touched the eyes of the blind, and immediately they regained their sight. It's compassion. And you take a risk motivated by compassion. Well, you say, Wayne, how can my compassion, because it's kind of shallow, how can it be ignited? How can it be deepened? You know, it happens when we choose to use our experiences, our setbacks, even our suffering, all the events of our past that were not very comfortable, to use those not as an excuse, not as a way out, but a way in. We use all of those things as a motivation to help others that are probably in that same situation, facing the same suffering. 2 Corinthians 1:4 tells us that we can use the same comfort whereby God comforted us when we were in our hurts. We can use that same comfort to comfort others. Moving by compassion is a choice I have to make that gets me involved, engaged. No, not to wallow in my sufferings or rehearse the hurt, not to bury it deep, but actually surface it to let God's grace heal us and then use it for good. And it helps us take risks because of compassion. We've seen this. For example, in cancer wards, we see children who have lost their hair, lost their eyebrows, lost their eyelashes. And to some people, that might seem a bit scary. But you'll see 3 or 4 volunteers hugging these kids, kissing them, giving them piggyback rides, playing games with them. And if we interview these adults and ask them why they have such compassion for these cancer victims, inevitably, most of them will tell of a time they themselves struggled with cancer or had a child who had cancer. They may have lost that child. But now God has placed in their hearts a huge compassion for children suffering in the same way. And they're now willing to take a risk and be involved. The greater the compassion, the lesser the sacrifice. So let me ask you, what have you experienced? What have you gone through? Did you know that God can use that to help you to take the risks necessary and be open and transparent where maybe others would not? Can I encourage you to let God use your experiences, the good ones and the tough ones, for His glory? I mean, be a part of what He's doing. And when you do that because of compassion for God and compassion for people, then watch. Everything that would have been a sacrifice turns to a joy. Did you know that serving is God's design for growth? We learn half of what we're going to learn from sermons or messages, seminars, conferences. But in order to learn the other half, you're going to need to pass through the servant's entrance. Why? Because serving is a part of God's design for growth. If the gospel is just in our heads, we call it information. And if it drops just as far as our hearts, we call it inspiration. But it's only when it drips out of our fingernails and our toes that it becomes transformation. It's only in our heads, we have a tendency to become Pharisees. And if it stops when it reaches our heart, we become fanatics. But when it leaches out of our fingernails and comes out of our toes, that's when we become disciples. And the best way to grow as disciples is when we put on aprons, our hands to the plow, and serve. Now remember, 50% of what we learn is learned in a classroom, but the other 50% happens only when we choose to go through the servant's entrance. That's when we learn people skills, punctuality, patience, character, virtue. We learn to forgive and receive forgiveness. Just how God designed it. That's his invitation. It's when life gets tough. That's when our faith begins to develop. It's when you run head on with people and you have to work things out. That's when our faith starts to grow. We learn to depend on the Holy Spirit, ask for wisdom. And if we shelter ourselves from all of that, our faith will never reach its full potential. Some time ago, I wanted to learn to lift weights. And so I hired actually a weightlifting coach to help me. And so I went through a season of weightlifting. I know it doesn't show anymore, but back then it did. But anyway, I remember him laying me on a bench and putting weights to be a bench press kind of thing. And he was teaching me how to do it. So he put on a few weights, not many, 500 pounds, somewhere in there. But and I remember him saying, okay, bring it down to your chest. And so I did. And then he said, now we're going to do 12 reps. So I pumped it up 1, 2, 3, not too bad, 4. But by the time I got to about 10, I started to vibrate and I couldn't lift it all the way up. And I said, help, help. And he reached down with just a couple of fingers and he said, here, let me help you. And then he said, this is so exciting, Wayne. This is so exciting. And I thought, what is so exciting about me about to die? And he was just helping me with just a few ounces and 11. He said, one more. And he was getting really passionate. And I thought, what in the world is he getting so excited about? And here's what he said. Now you're building muscle. Now it's starting to happen. I thought, what do you think the other 11 reps were for? Fun? And when it was done, I asked him, what were you so thrilled about? He said, well, you see, the first 10 or 11, you can do it. It's not too bad. It's within your capacity. But when you start moving outside of your capacity, that's when the old cells of your muscle break down and you start building bigger cells, bigger tissue, and your muscles begin to build. That's when you start to build. It's when you don't think you can do it, but yet you can. That's when it builds. For a moment, let's take a look at Joseph in the Old Testament. You know, God had to prepare him to be a Pharaoh so that he could save the people of God from famine. So how did God prepare him? He could have sent him to Harvard, I guess, or Oxford. But instead, he sent him through the school of hard knocks, sent him to Egypt, to prison, to be forgotten, and he taught him how to excel there. To use his gifts in prison before as a Pharaoh. When he was unjustly ordered to prison, he entered through the servant's entrance. Listen to what it says. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made him to prosper. But you say, wait a minute, wasn't he in prison? Isn't that the end of the line? Nope. No, the way he would respond to his sufferings may have actually been the beginning of the story. You might ask, well, how do you do that? How do you gain the courage and the strength? You know what I'm realizing? I'm realizing that my success is not determined by my location or circumstances. It's actually determined by my perspective of that location or circumstance. You see, we get to choose how we see things. When things go wrong, some who may not know the ways of God might say, oh, that's just bad luck. No, I say it's bad eyeballs. Yeah, what do I mean? Matthew chapter 6 tells us this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. In other words, it's not what you see, it's how you define what you see. And how you define what you see will affect your whole life. There were 12 spies that went into the land in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus. God said, I'm going to give you the land. Now send some spies in just to see what the land is like. And so they went to assess it and bring back some fruit. Now, 10 came back and said, impossible. No, we saw giants in the land. But two of them, Joshua and Caleb, saw fruit. And they brought huge fruit back. You know, some people see giants and others are going to see fruit. Same land. Some see problems, others see potential. And although the odds were uneven, 10 who said it was impossible and 2 said, no, we should. Caleb figured that he was going to risk it all, take the leap. And this is what he said. We should by all means go in and take the land. It's not impossible at all. You know, your faith is often determined by what you're looking at. These two saw it from a completely different perspective than the 10. You know, in the Olympics, the judges rate, say, gymnasts by two differing scales. One is artistry and the other is measure of difficulty. And for example, if the gymnast does like just a cartwheel and he does it well, artistry might be 10, but measure of difficulty, like a 1. On the other hand, if they do a complex routine and they do it really well, artistry is 10 and measure of difficulty, 10. So they get top rating. By the way, did you know that God lets us choose our own measure of difficulty for the things he asks of us? That's right. When Moses asked the majority of the 10 spies on a scale of 1 to 10, this is what he would ask them. How difficult do you think it would be to take the land? I bet they would say this. They'd answer, on a scale of 1 to 10, how difficult is it? Then 10 being difficult, like a 12. In other words, impossible. And then Moses would turn to Caleb and Joshua. Oh, what is it to you on a scale of 1 to 10? How difficult is it? They would say, scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 2. It's a 2, maybe even a 1. Then it's almost as if the Lord said, because you 10 say it's a 12 difficulty, then to you, it'll be a 12. But to Caleb and Joshua, who said it was a 2, then to them, it'll be a 2. For as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. In other words, how you see things will determine your faith or lack of it. In Numbers 14, God said this, but my servant Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land which he entered, and his descendants will take possession of it. You see, God allows you to choose your own level of difficulty in whatever he asks. If you see problems as a 9, then for you it'll be a 9. If you see it as a 2, then it'll be a 2, because as is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. And if God calls you to serve him, or to be generous, or to stop gossiping, or whatever, if you see it as a 10, it'll be very difficult to break those habits, to be generous, or to get involved, or serve. But if you see what God is asking as a joy, it's a 2, I tell you, it'll be an adventure. You choose. The Bible says it this way, I've set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. So choose life in order that you might live, you and your descendants. There are choices and risks that we need to make in life that will simply affect everything we do. But you know, heaven will take those risks and then define it as great faith. So choose to use your hurts for healing. Get involved. Take the leap. Even though it may be uncomfortable at first, let compassion drive you. Not for accolades or approval ratings, but just to love on people. Find yourself in that place. And then you'll see others who are struggling with the same thing you once did. And you're there to encourage them. And by the way, in doing so, you yourself will your own heart be encouraged. Be willing. Take some risks. Step outside your comfort zone so your faith can grow. And even in spite of all of our foibles and hurts, in spite of our past, join me. Let's take the leap. Love God, love people. And you watch God change the world through you and through me. You watch. You wait. You'll see.
You've been listening to a message entitled Risk and Faith by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We hope it has been an encouragement to you today. Well, just to sum it all up, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
Then Moses would turn to Caleb, Joshua. Oh, what is it to you on a scale of 1 to 10? Scale of 1 to 10, it's like a 2. Then it's almost as if the Lord said, but to Caleb and Joshua, who said it was a 2, then to them, it'll be a 2.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have an awesome day as you walk hand in hand with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Aloha.